the Lord.
Praise God. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm glad to be here. It was a storm coming down tonight. I thought, boy, why would you leave a nice warm home and drive 40 miles in a snowstorm if it weren't for the kingdom of God? Love does some strange things, doesn't it? I don't have any humor tonight. I've already washed up and put the surgical gloves on, so I'm ready to go to work tonight. Praise God. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for letting me be a part. Let's pray. Would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I need you tonight. I need you in a special way. I'm not so strong, Lord, that I don't need your strength. I'm not so experienced that I don't need your wisdom. I'm not so smart that I don't need your anointing. I need your help. Help me, Lord, to deliver the word of God to these precious people. We already feel your presence. May we respond to you tonight and open our hearts to you and see what you share with us in the Spirit. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Praise God. It's good to be back here. I'd like to preach probably under 3 hours, I think would be safe there. Just a snowstorm out there. There's not much to do but clean windshields tonight. I want to preach tonight on the God who follows. The God who follows. We're accustomed to Psalm 23 and 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're used to phrases from the New Testament where Jesus says, simply come, follow me. And it's amazing. Men dropped their nets, dropped everything. I'm trying to envision that in my mind. I don't think they put their houses in order. I don't think they even said goodbye to their wives and kissed the kids goodbye. He just said, come on. Come follow me, and they dropped everything and followed him. There may be another message in there for us. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I would ask the question, have you done any fishing this week? And if you're fishing, you'll catch fish. If you put the right bait on and you fish, you'll catch fish. I've been fished with my dad for years. I know that in order to catch fish, you have to fish. And you have to put the bait on the hook, and you have to be patient. Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're used to scriptures about us following him, but I want to present this tonight in a different light. I want to share with you the thought of God who follows us. I know he's already followed us here tonight. He was in the car tonight with me on the way down and said, boy, you sure must love me to drive through this snowstorm. But he was with me, and he followed me here, and he followed you here tonight. It's not an accident that you're here. You're here by choice. There are 1,000 other things you could be doing on a cold, wintry night. But you're here, and because you're here, the Lord has followed you here. Let me share this story with you. Eric Hill had everything you need for a bright future. He was 23 years old. He was a recent college grad. He had an athletic frame, a soft smile. The family loved him, and girls noticed him. Companies had already contacted him about working for them. Eric appeared to be composed and have it all together on the outside. But on the inside, he was tormented. He heard voices that he could not still. He envisioned images that he could not avoid. So hoping to get away from it all, one day he did that. He got away from it all. And on a gray, rainy day, February 1982, Eric walked out of the back door of his Florida home and never came home, never came back. His sister Debbie remembers seeing him leave, his tall frame ambling down the interstate. She assumed he would return, but he didn't. She thought maybe she could find him, but she couldn't. She really hoped that maybe he'd give a call, but he didn't call. Only God and Eric knew where he had journeyed. We do know that Eric heard a voice, and I'm not here to analyze this tonight, but in that voice was an assignment. The assignment was to pick up garbage along the roadside in Interstate San Antonio, Texas. And so he spent the next 16 years of his life along the side of the road. To commuters on Interstate 10, his lanky form and bearded face became a familiar sight. He made a home out of a hole in a vacant lot. He made a wardrobe out of split trousers and torn sweatshirt. An old hat deflected the summer sun, and a plastic bag on his shoulders softened the winter chill. His weathered skin and stooped shoulders made him look twice his age of 44 years. Eric was found curled in a ball on the side of the road, clutching his stomach. Eric was taken and diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer. His court-appointed attorney couldn't handle the thought that Eric was going to die alone with no known family and no relatives. So the lawyer scoured the internet and searched for a brown-haired adult with the last name Hill. And that's how his sister, Debbie, met him. The description seemed to match her memory, and so she went to Texas with her husband and two children. And they took a hotel room, and they set out to find Eric. By now, Eric had been released from the hospital, but the chaplain knew exactly where he was. They found him sitting against a building not far from the interstate. As they approached him, he stood. They offered him fruit, but he refused. They offered him juice, but he declined. He was polite but unimpressed with the family who claimed to be his own. Debbie intended to spend a week, but the weeks passed, and she stayed. Spring became summer, and Eric improved, and she still stayed. Debbie rented an apartment and began to homeschool her children. Her husband returned home to his job, but she still stayed. Debbie kept reaching out and her brother to her brother after being separated for 16 years. And it wasn't easy. He didn't recognize her. He really didn't know her. And one day he even cursed her. He didn't want to sleep in her apartment. He didn't want her food. He did not want to talk. He only wanted his vacant lot and his old job back. Debbie later was questioned, how do you keep from giving up? Simple, she said, he's my brother. Her pursuit reminds us of another one, another pursuit. Her heart reminds us of another heart, another kind of heart who left home in search for the confused, another compassionate soul who couldn't bear the thought of a brother or sister in pain. So like Debbie, he left home, and like Debbie, he found his sibling. And when Jesus found us, we didn't always recognize him. We weren't always so kind. Our limitations prevented us from knowing who he really was, that he came not to harass us but to save us, not to confine us but to release us and free us. It was 1967, University of Wisconsin-Madison. I was a sophomore in electrical engineering, staying at 306 North Brook Street, a campus of 35,000 students. I was going up the hallway one day to my room, and Brother Chuck Welch stopped me. And he said, you know that God could deliver you from cigarettes? And I said, oh, yeah? And that was the beginning of a witness that was about to transform my life. I thought maybe I was alone there, me against the campus, me against the world, but Jesus Christ had followed me all the way to the hallway of the university YMCA. He had followed me to the engineering rooms. He'd followed me all over that campus until he finally rendezvoused there in the hallway at the university YMCA. We acted like Eric. Our limitations kept us from recognizing him. We even doubted his presence. Sometimes we even now doubt his presence. Here in church, it's easy to feel his presence. When the music is playing and the beautiful singing is going forth and the worship is being offered, it's easy to feel his presence here. But tomorrow is Monday, and tomorrow's work day, and tomorrow's going to and home from traffic, and tomorrow is going to be a different kind of a day than in the sanctuary of God tonight. And so it would be great tomorrow if we could feel his presence. Wouldn't it be great in the morning if before you got up and got into your day, you could rendezvous with him and spend some time out with him and begin to start your day with the presence of the Lord in your heart and get your heart right, get your mind right, get your spirit right, and get yourself saturated full of the Holy Ghost like Brother Schumacher said tonight. How does Jesus deal with our doubts? How does he deal with us when we refuse him and reject him and ignore him and avoid him? He follows us. He follows us. Psalm 23 and 6, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we read this verse, it's like opening a box of jewels. Each word sparkles with illumination. It begs us to examine it closer and compare it to our doubts. There is great assurance that comes from the promises of God. For they are yea and they are amen to them that believe. I'm standing on the promises, not sitting on the premises tonight. I'm believing him. He's coming soon. We have a job to do. I know that the Lord is in this house and he has something to do. David says, surely, not maybe, not possibly, or I have a hunch. David believed in a sure God who gives us sure promises and a God who builds on a sure foundation tonight. You can build your life on Jesus Christ. Praise God. David would have enjoyed the inspiration of his great-great-grandson, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect act of giving. The good gift there is the act of giving, and the perfect gift is the gift itself. And so every perfect gift and every perfect act of giving is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's not the slightest variation. I like that. No variation and not the shadow of inconsistency. You can depend on him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our moods will shift. I don't know if we have any moody people here. Sweet and nice in church, but look out tomorrow. Something's going to happen, and we're not going to be quite as cheery and happy as we were tonight in the house of God. Our moods shift, but God does not. Our minds change, and we struggle with our thoughts. God does not. Our devotion may falter, but God never does. We become faithless at times, but God is faithful. And so he makes up the difference for our deficiencies tonight. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not goodness alone. See, the Lord is the shepherd, and goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs that follow the rear of the flock. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow. Not goodness alone. We are sinners and we need mercy. Not mercy alone. We are fragile and we need some goodness. We need both of them. Goodness to provide and mercy to pardon. Praise God. I'm glad tonight for mercy, goodness and mercy in our hearts. You can reinforce your faith with this: all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life. There's something more than this world that's falling apart around us tonight. It's becoming increasingly more uncomfortable here in the days to come. God is going to force us to look more to him. And in the day, and one day we're going to be crying out, even so, Lord, come quickly, because this place won't be as nearly normal or comfortable or satisfying as it has been in the past. I'm not a doomsday preacher, but I know prophecy, and prophecy is being advanced with one big giant step tonight. Praise God. Think of the days that lie ahead. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Think of your job tomorrow. Think of your circumstance. Think of your marriage. Think of your parenting tonight. Think of your finances. Think of your health. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brother Portman, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better after the healing, after the miracle. Things are going to be wonderful again, and goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life tonight. Praise God. Not some of the days and not most of the days, not nearly all the days, but all the days. All the days. Hallelujah. All the days. You can depend on God. I'm glad I can depend on him. After this last election, I said, I'm sure glad I know you, Jesus. And I'm sure glad I know that you're coming soon. I'm sure glad I know that you're coming to rescue us from this place as the earth is groaning for its own redemption and men are becoming like the days of Noah and God is about to judge, but I'm so thankful we have his mercy and his goodness following us here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're accustomed to God being in one place, saying tonight about the throne, right? He's in the throne room. He's enthroned in the heavens. He reigns and he rules and he ordains. But David envisioned a mobile, active God who follows us. He's following us everywhere we go. Goodness and mercy all the days of my life. There are some wonderful Bible examples. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they hid themselves in the bushes. Now, I have a feeling that God knew where they were. Don't you? I think he knew where they were. But he didn't wait for them to come to him. He looked them up. He followed them, and he said, Adam, where are you? That question wasn't for God. That question was for Adam. Where are you and what shape are you in now? And God looked them up, and he tried to. That began the quest for God to restore humanity and to save them again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God's following you here tonight. He's followed you here tonight. I don't know how you responded to the worship. I didn't look around. I'm not scouring to see how you're responding to the Word of God, but Jesus Christ is here tonight, and you made the effort to make it here, and he followed you here, and he has something good in store for you. He's not going to waste your time and energy. He's going to do something good if you'll just turn your doubts over to him. Moses thought he was alone 40 years out in the Midian Desert, tending sheep. He thought he was all alone. All of a sudden, he looked over his shoulder, and he saw a bush that was burning, and he found out that God had followed him all the way out to the wilderness. Hallelujah. He wasn't as alone as he might have thought. Jonah, the fugitive on a boat, on a ship, looked over his shoulder and saw storm clouds brewing, and he realized that God had followed him all the way out to the sea. God was still there. The disciples in the rain, soaked and shivering, they looked over their shoulder and they saw Jesus walking toward them. They realized that Jesus Christ had followed them into the storm. He is a God who follows, a God who follows us tonight. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad he follows. Even when we're not aware, when we're not thinking about it, where we're not aware of his presence, we're not aware of his nearness. The Bible says that they would seek after him if perhaps or happily, perhaps they might find him. Feel after him and find him, for he's not far from every one of us. He's just a prayer of faith away. He's not that far away. When you think you're all alone, you're facing the world, remember Jesus Christ is right there to help you. Help you go through, help fight your battles, help undergird you with his everlasting arms, help supply your needs. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not alone. David said, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And if you'll reach out, you'll find there's a lily of the valley there that's tender and sweet and wonderful. You'll find out that Jesus Christ is not very far away from you, not far at all. And he's here tonight. Praise God. Do you sense his presence? Praise God. John the Apostle, banished on Patmos, looked over his shoulder. He saw the skies opening up, and he realized that God had followed him all the way into his exile. He wasn't as lone as he thought he was. God was there, and God was giving him some wonderful revelation. He was making good use of time. John, I don't know what else you're going to be doing, but how don't you check this out? Why don't you write these things down and see these visions? Why don't I share some things with you while you're here on this island in exile? And he was there with him. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lazarus, 4 days. 4 days in a sealed tomb. He heard a voice, lifted his head, turned, looked over his shoulder, and he saw Jesus Christ standing there. Jesus had followed him into his death. Praise God. Are you feeling some assurance tonight? You feel like you're not alone? It's not you and your problem, not you against the world, not you against politics. Not you against administration. It's you and Jesus Christ together, and we can make it. Peter, you denied the Lord, cursed him, and denied the fact that you ever knew him. You went back to your fishing. He heard his name called. He looked over his shoulder. He saw Jesus cooking breakfast. How about that? When you get back, you have breakfast all ready to go. How would you like your fish? How'd you like your eggs? Over hard. Jesus was cooking breakfast for him, and he realized that Jesus Christ had followed him in spite of his failure. Praise God. He's not going to give up on you. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. You're important to him. You matter to him. He cares about you, and he loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. He does. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 1972, I was on the gun line. May of 1970, I was on the gun line on the USS Providence, 7 miles off the shore of Vietnam. I had the assignment of going out and replacing a servo motor in one of the satellites that tracked information. Because we're the library ship of the Pacific Theater, information was constantly being flown from there to Hawaii to San Diego, and I was had the task of putting on a helmet and a flak jacket and going out. I was hearing the bombs bursting on shore. I could hear the shrapnel tingling in the superstructure. And I was, I said, Lord, I need you on this. I need you here. If I'm going to see my unborn son. My son was 3 months old before I saw him back in Seattle. If I'm going to see my unborn son, I need your help. I smell the smoke. I hear the shrapnel. I have some protection on, but I know that's not enough. I need your help. And I look back over my shoulder, and a voice said, I've got this. And there's a peace that settled over me in the midst of the war zone, right out there in the front lines of the war zone. A peace came over me, and I finished the task. And I remembered that rendezvous with the Lord. I realized that the Lord had followed me all the way to Vietnam. I thought maybe he was back in Revival Tabernacle, Brother Grace Church in San Diego. I thought maybe he was at the altar there. But I found out he traveled 2,300 miles around halfway around the world, and he was there to meet me on that platform, on that satellite dish that day on the gun line. I know the presence of the Lord. I feel it right now in this place. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost anointing right now. I feel something special. I feel something that you could respond to tonight. If you'd open your heart and your mind, you could come and receive whatever you need. What is it? Do you need salvation? You need a healing? You need a miracle? You need direction for your life? You need peace in your family? You need resolve in your marriage? What is it you need tonight? You can come and receive that here tonight. Do you sense his presence? God has followed you here. You can trust God. He's a Savior that you can trust. I found out you can't trust a lot of people these days, especially when they're talking. It's hard for me to trust what I hear. It's hard to sort out fact from fiction, fake from the real. It's hard to do that. But there's one thing I can do. I can get down on my face, and I can open the Word of God, and I can trust what I hear from Him. Praise God. I can trust Him. I've trusted Him throughout my life. I've trusted Him all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of death-defying circumstances. I've trusted Him, and He's brought me to this place. I don't fear death tonight. I belong to Him. I said, Lord, if you want to use me, you're going to have to preserve me. I can't serve you when I'm sick and laid up. I can't serve you when I have a broken heel, a broken ankle, or a broken arm. I can't do it as well then. If you want to use me, you're going to have to protect me and preserve me. Give me strength. Give me health. Give me the ability to do what you've asked me to do. Thank you, Lord. He gives you his love tonight. It's a wonderful love. It's a love that passes all knowledge. You can't figure it out. He loves you. You say, why? He loves you just because he does, because you're his, and he loves you with unconditional love. He loves you so much, why don't you give him your doubts tonight? Why don't you find a place in this altar? Bring your doubts, bring your questions, bring your fears. Place them here and put them at his hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're here, and I know that you can do anything that I need to be done. You can do that. He can do all things. He can do all things. Praise God. You want to know the story of Eric, what happened, right? Just before he died, the days before he died, he recognized Debbie as his sister. He recognized her. He knew her for the first time in over 16 years. He knew her. He discovered his home. It's not too late to begin again tonight. You say, I've really messed up. I don't know if the Lord will ever. The Lord will love you. There's all kinds of examples. The Lord is here to give you another chance, a second chance, a restart. It's never too late until it's too late. Never over till it's over. And God wants to come to this altar tonight. Jesus is here to assist you in your spiritual journey. He's here to do something for you. Why don't you talk to him and see what he has to say? Open up your heart tonight and see what he has to share with you. It's not so important what you bring to him, but just come and talk to him, listen to him. Let him talk to your heart, your spirit, and let him minister to you tonight, and you can benefit from his presence tonight. It would be good for us to follow the God who follows us. Follow him, for he's not very far from you because he's got you in mind. He's got you in his sights. He knows exactly where you are and what condition you're in. He's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. He wants to do for you what no one else can do. And he is a wonderful God. Let's come tonight. Let's worship him. May the Lord bless his word to your heart tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Lemke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm reminded of something that God said to Moses when Moses said, "Let me see your glory." He said, "There's a place by me." And I want you to know that there's a place by him tonight that you can come. He can comfort you. He can help you. He can give you provision tonight. He can give you faith and confidence in your walk with him, but you have to come and be in that place by him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Lemke.